This Mark Start Money Podcast. If the subject is about money and life or questioning the so-called experts on the subject, we open the conversations.
You want answers? You can't handle the truth.
Welcome to the Smart Start Money Podcast. My name is Eric Flynn. A question I've been asked a few times now is, what should I be saving for now that I've landed my first job? A lot of people want to reward themselves with a new car or a nice vacation, and this is the wrong answer. I'm here to tell you today what you need to save your money for with your first job, and you might be surprised the answer isn't going to be to start planning for retirement. Welcome to today's podcast on what you should be saving for with your first job. Before I get started with today's podcast episode, if you like this podcast, you can subscribe and also visit my website at smartstartmoney.com, where I have a lot of information on some different things there. There's a lot of different articles and helpful information on money and life. I also like to hear from any listeners with their thoughts and comments. You can email them directly to me. The email is eric@smartstartmoney.com. So today's podcast episode is about what you should be saving for with your first job. And a lot of times, like I said at the beginning here, is people will say, you know, with their first job, whether it's, you know, right out of college or maybe you went to a trade school and you got that first job and you're making a decent amount of money, a lot of people like to reward themselves either with a, you know, a new car or a lavish vacation. And those are really the wrong answers. The correct answer is a must-have savings plan for your first job is to save money for when you don't have a job. Now, for young adults entering the workplace, being unemployed or underemployed, it's not just a chance. It's something that statistically is likely to occur in today's world for most workers to either leave a job by their own choice or through their employers. And this could happen several times in someone's lifetime. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average worker will have 10 different jobs today before the age of 40. And this number is projected to only get bigger, with today's younger workers likely having between 12 to 15 different jobs in their lifetime, and often possibly even a few career changes in there. Now, why are people changing jobs so often? And that's one of the questions that comes up with why it's, you know, why is it so important to save for your next job? Is why are people changing jobs so often? And one of those reasons is the value changes in the working world today. So people are changing jobs more often compared to decades ago, due to those changes in values. Employers are growingly seeing their employees as being more disposable. Companies are also following a leaner workforce philosophy. This philosophy is, you know, fewer workers to do the same job it previously took. If they can have one worker do the same job of three, this adds to their bottom line and it reduces overhead and increases their profits. The second reason people are changing jobs so often is costs. Although right now the news would tell you that unemployment is at an all-time low and wages are on the rise, this is not the entire story. Costs are also on the rise. Medical insurance is increasing at a rapid rate, along with education costs and just daily living expenses. One of the quickest ways for a person to really get an impacting pay raise many times today is to move jobs, find another job. And this is how you can get a pay raise a lot of times. This is also adding to the number of jobs a person takes in their lifetime. Because what happens is a lot of times when you remain in a job at the same place, the pay rate becomes stagnant. And the only way you can substantially increase that is to move to another company. College graduates often have a mountain of student loans to repay. And this can make it a challenge to start at a low pay rate and work your way up the ladder as well. So it's nice to think, well, I'll just go to start at this company. And if you are lucky to be able to stay there for a number of years, thinking that your pay rate will raise, it often will not. And job hopping can make it easier to eventually pay back student loan debt. People are also changing jobs more often due to better life-work balance. As companies are working leaner and seeing their employees as being more expendable, people are also often changing jobs to look for a better work environment and life balance. It's not always, as many people would think, only about the money. And this is especially true in today's working world. I did an article one time on millennials in the workplace, which you can find it at smartstartmoney.com. And it seems that millennials a lot of times are looking for a better work-life balance as opposed to just money. So it's not always about the money. With companies having employees work longer and harder, having a balance in life becomes more difficult. And many companies are increasingly becoming a toxic workplace, and their employees are searching for greener grass, so to speak, which often is either hard to find or maybe does not even exist. And job changes can occur frequently while looking for better opportunity. Now, the reason why it's important to save with your first job for your next job is these job changes, they can be either planned or unplanned. It is important to save for the next job in today's working environment because job changes will be either planned or unplanned, like I said, more regularly compared to previous generations. Companies will always lay employees off in a pinch when the economy is not well. And as I mentioned, it is the fastest way to improve the balance sheet. They might also do this just to improve profits during a good economic time. With changes in the workplace, including longer hours and less pay in many instances compared to rising costs for benefits and living expenses, it is also not uncommon for many places of employment to either become a toxic work environment or already be classified as one. And for this reason, planning for the next job can save your health and your sanity. Now, there is some truth to, you know, almost always a person should have another job before leaving the one they have. Yet there are circumstances with terrible employment environments where a person just must leave. You know, it could be the result of an unsafe working environment physically or maybe even just psychologically. There's also likely going to be a time that you might have to leave a job voluntarily before having another one lined up. Your health and your safety will be at risk, and it will be important to be financially prepared to leave. Planning for the next job financially might include short or long periods of unemployment, and there's just no way to tell. And this is why with your first job, you need to be planning for the next one financially. So how do you financially plan for the next job? And most financial experts will tell you that everyone should have 3 to 6 months of living expenses saved. I would agree that this is a good start. However, it is better to have at least 1 year saved. And the reason for this is in the event of a job loss, it could take much longer than 3 to 6 months to find comparable employment. This is especially the case with an older person. So the older a person gets, the chances of being out of work longer start to increase. So if you're currently entering the workforce and you're a younger worker, 3 to 6 months might be fine. Although as you start to get older, you're going to want to increase that time period probably to at least a year. Also, not everyone's skills, education, and networking skills are the same. And that standard 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses in the event of a job loss, it's just not enough in today's working environment for many people. Save money for the next job and put it someplace easily accessible. You know, don't invest the money in mutual funds or stocks or any other typically longer term investment. You're going to need that money accessible. A savings or money market account can be a good place to put the money you might need. Don't take a chance on losing the money that you put aside for job loss because you never know when you might need it. Now, for a college graduate, I do understand with a first job, you may have student loans that need to be repaid. And it will be important to start paying these off, but at the same time, you need to be saving for the next job change or loss. If you start making large student loan payments and don't have a time period of living expenses to fall back on in the event of a job loss, the result is your student loans may then go into default. This can be damaging in the long run. Many student loans have programs for delaying them without penalty in the event of losing employment and things like forbearance and things like that. However, there are only so many times these programs can be used. So if you do have student loan debt, it is important to start paying on those. But at the same time, don't just think your job's going to last forever and you'll double and triple up on your student loan payments if you have the ability to do so. Save money for the next job before taking everything to pay off your student loans. Now, one of the most important things with planning for job loss is to remain debt-free. And at Smart Start Money, that's what we teach is to remain debt-free. This is especially important with job loss. You know, it's imperative to remain debt-free in order to plan for a job change or a job loss. And the easiest way to do this is to save as much money as you can to get at least that 6 months to a year of living expenses covered, and ideally get to that year, as I mentioned. And if you run into an emergency while saving, you can use some of this money for that emergency to stay out of debt and then try to build it back up. Each time some of the living expense money saved is used for an emergency, you need to try to replace it as quickly as possible. Once there's a good saving for living in the event of job loss, save even a little more specifically for only emergencies so you don't have to touch the job loss money. Now, the problem with accumulating debt and having a job loss or changing jobs is debt in itself, it creates a vicious circle. And once you start to get into some debt, a bigger hole is many times dug, and it just becomes increasingly difficult to get out of. So remaining debt-free is very important. Saving for the next job loss has to include a plan to remain as debt-free as possible. Doing this in combination with having ample living expenses makes more choices available. For people in many careers, just taking any job can hurt their chances of progressing in the future. Job changes need to make sense when they can to grow professionally and financially. We all do what we need to do, you know, in order to survive, but having choices can make things much less stressful if you lose your job. So the idea here is you need to have that savings put aside, because if you lose your job and you don't have money set aside and you have debt, you have student loan payments, this is going to limit your choices. You're going to need to pick up a job to basically pay the debt, to maintain the debt. And it's also likely that you're going to need to retain that job to maintain the debt. Staying out of debt is something you really need to focus on with planning with your first job. Now, retirement is important to save for, especially with your first job. It is important to start saving for retirement as soon as possible and put away as much money as you can. However, with first job planning, you know, planning for the next one should take priority. If you work for a company that has something like a 401k with a matching contribution, there is nothing wrong with contributing enough money to receive the full amount of the matching portion. You should do this and also be saving for living expenses and emergencies in the event of a job loss. It never makes any sense to give up any free money. So if your company is going to match, say, 3% of your own contributions to a 401k, then you just need to go ahead and do it. Now, often I see many people, they'll tell a young person with their first real job to make maximum retirement contributions from the start. This should not be the case at a young age. Yes, it does make sense initially from a mathematical standpoint. You know, a young person that can make maximum retirement contributions early, it sets them up ideally for a good retirement. The issue is someone first starting in the working world has many years to navigate through. And this also includes job changes and job loss. So if a person puts all their money into retirement contributions at a young age, something like a traditional 401k, then all the money they've saved, it's tied up in a retirement account, an account that will have taxes and penalties if money is withdrawn early. At a young age, most young people are not financially ready to take the risk of putting all their money into retirement. Retirement savings should be gradual for a young person. Save for the next job and emergencies. Then prepare for, you know, other things in life. This might be something like marriage, a home, or children. And once all of this is taken care of, full contributions to retirement should be made, and the money will be there in case of a job change. So you just need to put a plan in place that shouldn't include putting all your money into retirement, because is what typically is going to happen, as I mentioned, is let's say it's your first job and you're putting all of your extra money that you can into retirement. Now, the first thing here is most 401k plans at companies, they have a vested schedule. Most of the time, these are not exactly favorable to the employee. And with the vested schedule, is the way this works is a lot of times it's a sliding scale. So the longer you're with an employer, the more of their matching contribution you're able to take with you if you change jobs. And a lot of times to get a full matching 100% contribution to take with you, you will have need to been with a company for, say, anywhere between 5 and 8 years. And the problem with this in today's world is a lot of people are changing jobs within 3 to 5 years. You're only going to get the percentage that's on the scale of being invested. So if after 3 years, you can only take half of that 3%, that's all you're going to get. So it doesn't a lot of times make sense to make a whole lot more contributions because you need that money to plan. You need it for emergencies. You need it for job loss. So putting in just the 3% when you're probably only going to get a half or 3%, it should be just fine at a young age, and you can increase that amount of retirement savings over time once other financial plans are in place. Now, if at some point during your career, you do something, let's say you purchase a home, preparing for the next job loss is extremely important. You know, having the cash flow in case of a job loss occurring when you own a home, you need to make sure you can continue making those mortgage payments if you have a mortgage on your home. If at some point you do decide to buy a home, make sure you have a good savings built up. Now, if you're already a homeowner, you know that owning a home, there's a lot of maintenance costs, upkeep costs, in addition to the mortgage. Now, here's another place that I'm going to go a little bit against what a lot of people will tell you, is that the 15-year mortgage is always the best option, which it is not. If at some point you do decide to buy a home and have a good savings built up, take the 30-year mortgage and not the 15-year. This is also planning for job loss as a home buyer. Now, like I said, I hear most financial gurus always giving the advice of getting a 15-year home mortgage. If you're planning for the next job and statistically it will occur, a 15-year home mortgage does not make sense for most people. And I know the interest is lower with a 15-year mortgage, and there can be big savings paying off a home off, you know, in 15 years compared to 30, but having the flexibility of a 30-year home payment is much better in the event of job loss. The payment is always lower with a 30-year mortgage as opposed to a 15 in many circumstances. And this could mean the difference in staying in your home or having to sell it if you're laid off at work and unemployed for a period of time. There is nothing wrong with a fixed 30-year mortgage. You just need to make sure you get one with no prepayment penalty, and you can then just pay it off in 15 years and save money like having a 15-year mortgage. The difference is you need the cash flow at some point. If you do need that cash flow at some point, you'll have a little extra money every month. I actually wrote an article comparing a 15-year to a 30-year mortgage. That has a lot of useful information there on my website if you want to take a look at it. But the basic argument is the cash flow. If you have a choice between a 15-year and a 30-year mortgage and you can get the 30-year and there's no penalty for paying it off early, I do realize you're going to pay a little bit more on the interest, but you can almost count this as your insurance policy. And we all buy insurance for different things, but that's basically what it is. The argument of always a 15-year isn't always correct. That can't be thrown down on a blanket statement, especially in today's world with how often people do change jobs and the chances of getting let go from a job. The 15-year could work out quite well for someone that has a job that's never going to end. They have plenty of money in the bank. But basically, if you have a 15-year mortgage and you lose your job and you can't find one comparable making the same amount of money, try to go into the bank and refinance to a 30-year, and it's probably not going to turn out very well. That's just a reason to take the 30-year. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, it can be tempting with a first job to go out and reward yourself. I mean, who wouldn't want to? You know, and a new vehicle might be a nice way to do this, but it's not a good plan when you're trying to plan for your next job. Car payments are debt. They're a depreciating debt. If you lose your job and you can't make your auto payments, it won't be long before the bank comes and takes the car away. Buying new cars, they really make no sense at all in just about any circumstance. It does not matter if you would be paying cash or financing one, because cars depreciate in value and they do it fast. Now, if you can afford a new car and you can afford to pay cash for it and you don't mind the depreciation on it, that's fine. But with your first job, going out and buying a new car where you're making a $500 a month car payment really is not a good move. It's not a good idea, especially if you want to financially prepare for the next job change. Don't buy an auto, go out and buy a vehicle and take out an auto loan if you're going to start trying to save and plan for changing jobs or job loss. Save your money. Don't go out and blow it on a new car. You're going to have 6-7 years worth of $500 a month car payments. It just doesn't make any sense. You might hear from your friends and family that having an auto loan, it's just a normal part of life. And now that you got this great job, you should go out and reward yourself, get yourself a nice car. And this isn't the case. Having auto loans, it shouldn't be something normal. It's not something you need to do, especially if you want to be ready for the next job change. Don't follow the crowd on this one and go out and get an auto loan. Buy something. If you need a car, buy something you can afford. And preferably, you want to buy something in cash. Now, just to kind of sum up everything with this podcast is, obviously, getting the first real job position should be a time for celebration. You should reward yourself a little bit. But you should also be planning. Splurging on material things and getting into debt is not a good plan for trying to plan for the next job. And you really need to put that plan into action immediately when you land your first job. Changes in the workplace and the odds show most people will change employers and possibly careers many times during their life. And not being prepared for these changes can start a circle of debt, limit the choices you have. So if you've got your first job, start planning now. Start planning and put some money away. Try to get up to a year of living expenses saved, and then save a little more for emergencies only to keep yourself out of debt. And over time, once you have this money in savings, it's going to create a lot of choices for you should something happen. Thanks for listening to the Smart Start Money Podcast. If you like this podcast, you can visit smartcartmoney.com and subscribe. Join me on the next podcast as I review the truth about performance reviews in the workplace. If you currently are getting an annual or semi-annual review at work and feel the practice is outdated, you're probably right. But there is a reason many employers still follow the archaic performance review practice, and it's not for your benefit.